Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Today, Tuesday, April 29th, is the feast of St. Catherine of Siena, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. And these are today's headlines. The cardinals have expressed their gratitude to those who attended the funeral of Pope Francis. As the general congregations continue, the cardinals discuss the future of the church. And we take a look at the geographical origins of those who will elect the next pope. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. The College of Cardinals has expressed its gratitude and appreciation to the religious and political leaders who attended Pope Francis' funeral on Saturday. As Joseph Telic reports, the cardinals, in their statement, also extended their thanks to the many Romans and others who helped organize the event.
The College of Cardinals has thanked the heads of churches and the representatives of Islam, Judaism, and other religions who participated in Pope Francis' funeral on Saturday. In a press release from the Holy See, the cardinals also thanked the heads of state and other government delegations that attended. Their presence, the cardinals said, was particularly appreciated, both as a participation in the Church and the Holy See's pain over the loss of Pope Francis, and also as a tribute to his unceasing commitment to faith, peace, and fraternity. Finally, the cardinals also thanked the Italian authorities, the City of Rome, the security services, the civil defence, the media, and all the workers, including employees of the Holy See and the Governorate of the Vatican City State, who, they said, had enabled the event to unfold calmly and with order. The College of Cardinals ended their statement by thanking the young people who participated in Mass for the Jubilee of Teenagers over the weekend, saying that they had demonstrated, quote, the face of a church alive with the life of its risen Lord. More than 130 foreign delegations attended the Pope's funeral last weekend, including world leaders such as President Donald Trump, President Volodymyr Zelensky, and Ursula von der Leyen, the President of the European Commission. The total number of attendees at the Pope's funeral was around 400,000. That includes around 250,000 who were present for the funeral mass, while another 150,000 lined the streets to wave goodbye to the Pope's coffin as it was translated from the Vatican to its final resting place in the Basilica of St. Mary Major. I'm Joseph Tullock.
The College of Cardinals held their sixth general congregation on Tuesday morning to continue their discussions on the future of the church. As Devin Watkins reports, they announced the schedule for the votive mass to be held ahead of the conclave and the timing of the procession in which they will enter the Sistine Chapel.
During the sixth general congregation held in the new Synod Hall on Tuesday morning, 183 cardinals were present, including over 120 cardinal electors. Around 20 cardinals took the floor to speak. They addressed themes related to the Church and the challenges she faces. Their reflections were shaped by the perspectives of their continents and regions of origin, as well as the Church's possible responses. The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, told journalists that two cardinal electors will not be attending the conclave due to health reasons. Separately, Cardinal Giovanni Angelo Becciu announced that he will obey the will of Pope Francis and not take part in the conclave. The late Pope had asked him to renounce his privileges as cardinal after a corruption scandal. On Monday, the College of Cardinals decided to send a message to the world to thank especially religious leaders for sending delegations to attend the Pope's funeral. They also thanked the civil authorities of Italy and Rome for working so hard to welcome the hundreds of thousands of people who attended. The conclave to elect a new pope will begin on May 7th, and the cardinals agreed to follow the same schedule as the previous conclave in 2013. Cardinal Giovanni Battista Re, Dean of the College of Cardinals, will preside at the votive mass for the election of the pope, which will be celebrated at 10 a.m. in St. Peter's Basilica. The conclave will officially begin at 4:30 p.m. with a prayer service in the Pauline Chapel. The cardinal electors will pray the Litany of the Saints before entering in procession into the Sistine Chapel. They will sing the Veni Creator and then make their solemn oath to faithfully fulfill the Petrine ministry if they are elected pope and to maintain absolute secrecy regarding the conclave. I'm Devin Watkins.
Music.
Here in Italy, the final leg of the 108th Giro d'Italia will pay homage to Pope Francis when, for the first time in history, it will pass through the Vatican Gardens. Linda Bardoni tells us more.
One of the world's most famous professional cycling's grand tours, the Giro d'Italia, will for the first time ever enter Vatican City State for an unprecedented bike ride through the Vatican Gardens on June 1, 2025, in a somewhat strenuous tribute to Pope Francis, who strongly advocated for this unique inclusion in the year of the Jubilee. Unveiled today, the unprecedented route will see cyclists enter the Vatican, passing through the Porta del Perugino near Casa Santa Marta, before pedalling to the official starting point at the Caracalla Baths. The grand finale will consist of a 143-kilometre race ending at the Circus Maximus, with riders completing 8 final laps through the heart of Rome city centre. At the official presentation at the Capitoline Hill on Tuesday were Rome's Mayor Roberto Gualtieri and Vatican Bishop Paul Tai, Secretary of the Dicastery for Culture and Education. Bishop Tai highlighted the deep symbolism behind the Vatican Passage, noting that it is not a tourist route, but a symbolic journey. When the cyclists ride the Via Mariana, a path in the Vatican Gardens adorned with images of the Virgin Mary from around the world, he said, in a sense, it's a little journey across the globe. The Vatican segment of this leg, he added, is also intended as a reflection of the Jubilee of Hope, adding a spiritual dimension to the sporting celebration. Thus, it promises to be more than a race, as it unites sport, faith and international unity, as the Giro pays tribute to the global spirit of the Jubilee year and to the vision of Pope Francis. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Canadian artist Timothy Schmaltz is often referred to as the Pope's sculptor. In this interview with Vatican Radio, he remembered the late Pope Francis and his unique ability to convey the Lord's immense and unceasing love to the most marginalized and discarded. Well known for works such as Angels Unawares and Let the Oppressed Go Free, which deal with the plight of the vulnerable, of migrants, refugees, and trafficking victims, Schmaltz told Deborah Castellano-Lubov that he's been privileged to be able to give form to the deep concerns of the Holy Father.
Well, I think one of the great things about some of these pieces that I've created is they are going to continue to promote the work and the care of the Holy Father. And I think that as long as they're existing, as long as they're out there, and as long as people have eyes, and as long as people can reach out and touch, they're doing their job. And after the Angels Unaware sculpture, the Migrants and Refugee piece was completed, I was requested actually by Michael Cherney to start focusing and studying on and creating ideas on human trafficking because it was so close to the Holy Father's heart. And so I spent the next year working, totally involved in trying to give faces to these invisible people, these forgotten people within our culture today, the modern-day slaves. So it was an epic, epic project. And I just feel that there's a huge, huge responsibility of art to actually do good in the world. And I found that purpose within giving form to the Holy Father's deep, deep concerns. It just actually came from St. Peter's Square last night, and I saw people touching, looking at the sculpture, touching actually the hands of the sculpture. And I thought, this is absolutely splendid use of artwork. And I do believe that artwork has a function, and it always should serve something. And I think the better the art piece is, really depends on what is being represented. And I think that in order to have an epic art piece, you need an epic subject matter. And so combing through the ideas of the Gospels and celebrating the ideas that Pope Francis wants to focus on is, I think, the perfect fit for art.
And that was Canadian artist Tim Schmaltz speaking with Deborah Castellano-Lubov of Vatican Radio. In the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls on Monday, Archbishop Rino Fisichella, the pro-prefect emeritus of the Dicastery for Evangelization, celebrated Mass for the Jubilee of Persons with Disabilities. In his homily, the Archbishop used terms that included tudere and revolution, as well as ordinary. He said these three words put together seem like an oxymoron, yet they reveal the beating heart of integration, transforming the them into us, without the need for rhetoric or exceptional actions. The Archbishop has been tasked with organizing the Holy Year and its many particular jubilees, including the ongoing Jubilee of Persons with Disabilities. Finally, this afternoon, the upcoming conclave, set to open on May 7th, will be less Eurocentric than it has ever been in the past. Over three-quarters of the 135 cardinal electors were created by Pope Francis, who reshaped the college, showing a more generous gaze on the peripheries of the Church and the world. Although regional representation alone won't determine the outcome of the election of the new pope, which is also influenced by other critical factors, the geographical aspect cannot be overlooked given the global impact of the Roman pontiff. Lisa Zangarini has this report.
The cardinals that will enter the Sistine Chapel on May the 7th hail from 71 different countries across the five continents. 108 of them were appointed by Pope Francis, while 22 were created by Benedict XVI and 5 by St. John Paul II. During his 12 years of pontificate, Pope Francis significantly reshaped the College of Cardinals, making it a less Eurocentric and a more international body. This reflected both the late Pope's personal inclination to shift the centre of gravity of Catholicism towards the global south, with a focus on the peripheries, and the broader trend that the Church of the future will likely have an increasingly non-European face. For the first time, 12 nations will be represented by their own native cardinal electors. They include cardinals from Haiti, Cape Verde, the Central African Republic, Papua New Guinea, Malaysia, Sweden, Luxembourg, Timor-Leste, Singapore, Paraguay, South Sudan, and Serbia. However, Europe still carries a significant weight in the College of Cardinals. The Old Continent has presently 53 cardinal electors, with Italy still having the largest number, 19, followed by France with 6 and Spain with 5. 37 cardinal electors are from the Americas, 16 from North America, 4 from Central America, and 17 from South America. 23 cardinals are from Asia, 18 from Africa, and 4 from Oceania. Thus, although the European cardinals still represent the majority of those who will gather in the conclave, the rest of the world now clearly surpasses Europe, with the Americas as a whole significantly increasing its weight. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. We invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va for all the updates on the upcoming papal election. Also, you can follow us on our Vatican News English section Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram accounts, as well as our X account. Many thanks today go to our sound engineer in studio, Luca Rossi. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.